Rabbi David Fox is a forensic and clinical psychologist, director of crisis intervention, trauma and bereavement support for, services for Chai Lifeline. A very good morning to you. I hope that you are well this Monday morning.
Yes, thank you. It's nice to speak with you.
Great to speak to you. How much more can Israelis take, given what they have already been through over the last nearly 2 years?
The entire survival, including the emotional survival of the people in Israel, is miraculous. And although we have wonderful theories in sociology and psychology to explain the resilience, we really have to marvel at the strength, as well as what really seems like a divine shield over them. Thousands of years ago, our sages in the Midrash also puzzled over the ability the Jewish people have to survive, whether in exile or whether during persecution. And the way I would frame it clinically, I will borrow a phrase from sports psychology, and that is there's something called a home court advantage,
right.
Which means that when you're fighting because you have nowhere else to go and you've got to survive this, there's no other place. The Jews of Israel are not going to return to the diaspora. They're not going to go into the sea. And they have to survive. What happens, especially during times of war and during times of strife, that the surveys that have been done with the man on the street is that people pull together. Neighbors help each other. People on the street are there for one another. And this is a strong component of resilience that we bind together. Someone once said that we are like an egg, that the longer you boil it, the harder it gets.
Are we seeing signs of trauma fatigue?
Well, that's a constant. No one is immune from that. And whether in the IDF or through other programs, for the citizenry, we are doing a lot of intervention, a lot of processing, a lot of support. There are really wonderful services, agencies, both sponsored by the government and also in the private sector, so that children, that families, others can get the emotional support they need. So I think we are participating in the healing, so that people can go from wave to wave.
The long-term effect, the long-term impact on this period of Jewish history, you know, we've lived with, or I've certainly lived, and many of us have, with grandparents who are survivors. We've seen the generational trauma passed down. We've seen how it changes families and individuals forever. What can we expect to see coming out of this period for Israelis?
Yeah. So what we can anticipate is that if we're looking at families, for example, if parents talk with their children about what's going on, they're sensitive to the fears, the worries, the sadness that their children express, and the parents are supportive of that. They allow the children to acknowledge their worries. No one tries to shut them down or keep them quiet, which was something that we did see, unfortunately, in the post-Holocaust families, that there was just no discussion of what people had gone through.
No, not at all.
So if we make sure, if we make sure that, that children and parents can talk openly and can be given messages of hope and can be given tools for coping, I think the outcome will be much more positive.
What about the way the story ends? You know, again, going back to my grandparents, if I think about it, they lost very much, pretty much their whole families. They landed up in South Africa as two young people, The story might have ended well in that they rebuilt their lives, but their story of their war and experience until then didn't end well. Does it impact how the next generation deals with it if the outcome itself is positive? In other words, we endured a terrible, terrible time, but on the most part, we survived and thrived.
Well, that's always been what keeps the Jewish people hopeful that things ultimately will turn out well. But even when things do turn out well, what the science shows us is that we still need to go back and talk about how we survived, what we went through.
Right.
It's very interesting. Many of us quote the verse in Psalms in the Shir HaMaalos that said, before we say the Birchat HaMazon, we say that Hayinu Kucholmim, we were like dreamers. And the commentaries say that on the one hand, what keeps us moving is that we have dreams of hopefulness. On the other hand, we also have to acknowledge that we were in a nightmare, we were in a bad dream. If that's not talked about, then we do see mood changes, we do see anxiety.
Right.
We do see post-traumatic stuff. So we have to acknowledge that this is a nightmare, but at the same time, we have to keep alive that sense that the dream will end positively.
The issues of post-traumatic stress, things like hypervigilance, which Israelis have always had to live with to some extent, looking out for parcels, making sure nothing is suspicious, that's obviously now been heightened given the experience and the trauma that Israel has been through. How sustainable is that, living at this level of extreme hypervigilance?
Well, there is a threshold beyond which the human brain can't cope with incessant loss and incessant stress and ongoing anxiety. And no one is immune to the system breaking down if the stresses don't stop. There are tools we have, as I said, for coping while the stress is going on. But I really think what keeps us alive is that we do have miraculous redemption and salvation. Even in the Israeli government over these last many weeks, there's been just a public declaration that we have the assistance of heaven. We are being blessed and insulated by God. So I think, as I said earlier, that the whole survival is miraculous. It is not sustainable. People cannot go on indefinitely. But on the other hand, we do have these platforms when things get better. And that's when we group. That's when people put their lives back in order.
Do you foresee a significant, insignificant, or no impact in terms of return to religious observance?
You went silent there for some. Do I see an incidence of return?
Yeah.
Did the sound stop?
Okay. So yeah. Do you see a return to religious observance being? Do you think we're going to see a great return or no return? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, what I can reference is that after the horrors, the tragedies of October 7th. We did certainly see people who came back, began wanting to find something to believe in, search meaning, and even some of the hospice have reported that what kept them alive was the decision to have faith. So I think any time that there is war, any time that there is tragedy, there are an element of people whose hearts ignite and they want something to hold on to, many turn to religion, or many of them turn back to their own religion. So I think we will see a percentage of people, God willing, who find comfort and find in Judaism.
before I let you go, what do you think that the rest of the world could learn from Israel about endurance and perhaps moral clarity during a time of crisis?
Well, there are fortunately many, many studies which have done exactly that, namely trying to explore what can we learn from the people of Israel, particularly the Jewish people of Israel, who have been exemplary models of how to cope with ongoing stress. I think that's exactly what we're seeing in some of the scientific journals. However, even in science, there are horrible biases. There's a lot of condemnation of Israel and of Jews in general. And I will tell you that here in America, there is a growing movement of Jewish clinicians who are leaving the professional associations because of that explicit bias. So they are turning, they're using the Israelis as a laboratory to look at how people cope with trauma. But on the other hand, there is an ugliness that's emerging in the literature, as we see on the university campuses here. So where this will land, I can't predict.